Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins. Pleased to be joined by my co-host, Trey Lyle, joining us from Kansas via Zoom once again for another episode. Trey, how are you doing this week?
Doing pretty good. You know, just celebrated the holiday weekend. Starting to see a lot of baseball's back ads. Obviously, 2020 schedule got released the other day, and the Yankees and the Braves are playing a couple of times, so pretty exciting for us. A little game, and opens up with the defending champs taking on the Yankees. It's going to be fun. It'll be a rematch, sort of a rematch of the World Series between Cole and Scherzer, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, a lot of exciting stuff going on around the baseball world. Like you said, the schedule release, teams are back in spring training 2.0. I think they're really calling it summer camp, though, since it's not exactly spring training. But yeah, a lot of exciting stuff going on around the baseball world. Some exciting stuff going on here at Foulball Area. We just finished our best seasons bracket tournament. We did a blog series where we looked at the best season that every Major League Baseball team has ever had, and then we put them all into a bracket, and you guys voted on which team was the best season of all time. And it came down to the championship round, the first seed in each league, the 1975 Cincinnati Reds and the 1927 New York Yankees. It came down to those two. And with 62% of the vote, the 1975 Reds are the best team in history, according to you guys.
According to our fan base.
What are your thoughts?
According to the fan base, I think, if you look at facts and statistics and what most people say is the best team ever, I'm still going to go with the 1927 Yankees. I understand I'm a Yankees fan, but if you look at it from an objective view, this team had the most Hall of Famers on it and statistically was just not in the same level of where they were playing at the time. Like, they had 30 more home runs. Their numbers could have been comparable to teams today in terms of their home runs in 1927, where if a guy hit 20 home runs, that was a big deal, where you can see everyone hit 20 home runs now in baseball. Like, you could argue two of the five greatest players of all time on one team in Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the 1927 Yankees were a great team, and a lot of people would consider them the best team of all time, but we've got to go with what our readers and our listeners
you
voted.
Have to go with it.
The winner of our best seasons bracket is the 1975 Reds. They're also considered one of the best teams of all time. They were 108-54. They swept the NLCS that year. They won the World Series 4-3 over the Boston Red Sox. As a team, they had a 271 batting average and a 337 ERA. I mean, they had Pete Rose, Joe Morgan, Johnny Bench, and a whole bunch of other great players on the team.
Big Red Machine. They had the big Red. And that Reds team is phenomenal. It's just like let's be honest, you did the NL teams, so you have a lot more reference towards the NL teams. Me doing the AL teams, you kind of have reference to the AL teams. And I think if you looked at it objectively, these two teams, there's a reason they had the bye. I think it was going to come down to these two teams. And to say I'm upset, like, I'm not, like, this is a foul, like, people picking the Red. There's also a stigma when it comes to the Yankees. Like, it's kind of, you alienate a lot more people compared to a Reds team. Like, if it was... So I get why the Reds got voted by people, and it's not a bad choice. I think it would be interesting to see in a hypothetical scenario, you put these two teams on the field and what would happen. I mean, it's obviously very difficult to do. I hate comparing kind of eras and times when it comes to this stuff, but I think the best two teams got to the end, and whichever one actually got chosen, taking the fan part of me out of this, is there was nowhere everyone who participated could go wrong.
Yeah, I don't think you could have gone wrong with either of these choices. Both great teams, but ultimately, our readers did pick the 1975 Reds as the best team of all time. So congratulations to the 1975 Reds. They are Foul Ball Area's best season's championship team. So that was fun. Thank you all for participating in that, voting in our bracket, reading our best season's blog posts over the past month. We appreciate you. We appreciate you tuning in to the website and to the podcast. And thank you for checking out our best season's blog series and the best season's bracket. Now, before we get into our next big topic for today, let's go over some quick MLB news real quick. A lot of stuff has been happening over the past couple days. Like you said, Trey, the schedule was released this week on Monday night on a special MLB Tonight on MLB Network. They released the 2020 Major League schedule. And like you said, the opening night matchup between the Yankees and the Nats should be a good one. Gerrit Cole versus Max Scherzer. Every baseball fan should be excited for that. I'm looking forward to that on Thursday, July 23rd.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited for baseball to come back. We at the station here, sales packages are coming together. That's the inside scoop of radio. You know, selling ads is the key to having a successful radio station. So it's definitely an exciting time. I think it's a whole new spectacle of the season. It's going to be a sprint to the finish. And pretty exciting. Got some great previews coming up next couple of weeks. We got a fun, pretty exciting topic this week. But starting next week, we can actually talk about the 2020 Major League Baseball season.
Some news for the Braves. They've got a couple of primetime, or not necessarily primetime, but nationally televised games on Fox and ESPN this year, mostly against the divisional rivals, the Phillies and the Mets. And so they'll be on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, I think, three times, and then Fox twice. So exciting for the Braves. Obviously, as a Braves fan that doesn't live anywhere near Atlanta, and I don't pay for MLB TV or anything like that, so anytime they're on national TV, I look forward to that, and I get excited to be able to watch my Braves. Trey, I'm sure the Yankees will be on national TV all the time. They're the World Series favorite. They're the Yankees. They're always on Sunday Night Baseball, it seems like. So I'm sure you'll have plenty of chances to watch your Yankees throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And living in Kansas, it's very hard. I mean, obviously Kansas City, so I'll be able to check out the Royals and their upcoming, their kind of young core, seeing how they how much this team, I think for the Royals, or a team like the Royals, that is a team you wouldn't expect to win, how much will they weigh, and with especially without a minor league system this year, how much will they weigh going for it all or trying to develop players probably 30 games, I would even say 15 to 30 games in the season, because it's going to be so important to get off to a quick start that it's going to be hard to recover. So you're going to see a couple of these teams that have really good prospects down the line that could be like, all right, so let's play some guys you probably wouldn't play this year and develop them a lot quicker than we want to try to get some sort of development during this time.
Some other news and notes from the MLB schedule release. They'll still be doing Jackie Robinson Day. Usually it's on April 15th. That marks the anniversary of when Jackie Robinson made his Major League Baseball debut. This year it'll be celebrated on August 28th, which holds some significance in the civil rights movement as it's the anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom in 1963, which Jackie Robinson participated in. And it's also the date that Robinson initially met with Branch Rickey to talk about signing with the Dodgers in 1945. The Field of Dreams game will also take place. That'll be on August 13th at the Field of Dreams movie site in Iowa. It'll be the first ever Major League Baseball game played in the state of Iowa. It'll be between the Chicago White Sox and the St. Louis Cardinals. I think it was originally supposed to be the New York Yankees playing the White Sox in that, but due to the regional travel schedule this year, the White Sox will be playing the Cardinals in Iowa for the Field of Dreams game. That'll still be cool. Would have been cool to see the Yankees there, but I'm looking forward to this too. Field of Dreams is one of my favorite baseball movies. I think it's a really cool thing that they're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. It is kind of disappointing because I'd be like the only one within somewhat driving distance of me going to a Yankees game, unless they played the Royals, and they're not playing either of those teams. Those games. Obviously, they already got rid of the London series. It's going to be interesting to see like what they do with that, because there's going to be no fans at that game, I would assume, or unless they do something special with that, because none of these games will have fans unless it's certain staff. I know, like, for example, CC Sabathia attended the Yankees scrimmage the other night. And also, obviously, in big news with the Yankees was DJ LeMahieu testing positive for COVID-19. But obviously, Masahiro Tanaka taking that. And if you watched it, the video, that scary pitch off of a line drive from Giancarlo Stanton, the way any guy hits a ball that, like Giancarlo Stanton, you know that's coming out really, really quick. And he was down for a long period of time. And news coming out is he's got a mild concussion, and he's going to be in the concussion protocol. So glad to hear it's despite how bad concussions can be, just glad to hear it's nothing any worse from a very scary looking play.
And a few more news and notes around Major League Baseball. As you mentioned, with the COVID tests going on around MLB, Freddie Freeman and a couple other Braves players tested positive for COVID, so they will be out for the foreseeable future. Nick Markakis has decided to not play during 2020, so the Braves will be without him, as well as Felix Hernandez. He decided to opt out of the 2020 season also. Around the league, there's just been a lot of delays and a lot of hiccups going on with the COVID-19 testing, and it's not looking good. The Oakland Athletics, the Washington Nationals, and the Houston Astros, they all had to delay their workouts on Monday because they still hadn't received the results from COVID tests that were conducted on Friday during the first day of summer camp. So that was not good. And then MLB released a statement, said that it was due to the holiday weekend and FedEx wasn't running on Saturday during the 4th of July. So a lot of issues going on with the COVID testing and not getting the results back in time, not being able to hold workouts. It puts teams at a disadvantage when they're not able to work out and other teams are. It's also not safe to have people close together in those environments when they don't have the results from the COVID test. So a lot of issues going on makes me a little worried about the possibility of the 2020 season. Hopefully they'll get everything sorted out. Hopefully they'll get the test results back in a timely manner. But I wasn't too impressed with everything that was going on Monday. It seemed like a lot of bad news around Major League Baseball.
Yes, but I also kind of expected it. I think anything when it comes to this, I mean, you look at everyone coming back, it's not been smooth. You look at NASCAR. NASCAR just had its first athlete. And Jimmy Johnson, who you could argue is their greatest of all time, test positive for COVID-19. You've had a whole team in the MLS's back tournament, as well as the women's soccer league. It was FC Dallas and the Orlando Pride both had to get out of their return tournaments due to COVID testing. I mean, FC Dallas had 11 people on their team, 10 players and a coach. So you knew it wasn't going to be smooth. I think Major League Baseball should accepted that. And I think while it does not look good, and I'm not saying they should have had this in place, I think it's something where they need to understand what happens and then they're correct it as it goes on, which it looks like teams are doing as this process goes on, as they're learning more of how to properly test and get proper protocols in order to keep everyone safe.
So that's what's going on around Major League Baseball right now. The schedule release came out on Monday evening, and then a whole bunch of testing issues going on over the weekend and on Monday. Hopefully they will get everything resolved and every team will be able to have their summer camp workouts and will be able to have a safe and healthy 2020 season. Reminder, you can stay up to date with all the news around Major League Baseball by following our blog at foulballarea.com/blog. We will have multiple posts every day about the latest news and happenings around Major League Baseball and every other level of baseball as well. So with all of that out of the way, we're going to get into our main topic of today's episode. I'm based in Virginia. Trey's from Virginia. We went to Virginia Tech. We talk a lot about Virginia Tech baseball players and just people from Virginia in general. So with that in mind, we decided to look at an all-Virginia Major League Baseball team. There are a surprising amount of really good baseball players from the great state of Virginia. The Commonwealth. All right. And so we decided to put together a list of the best players from Virginia. And so we're going to go down the line. I think we'll start with catcher. And
there's a couple obvious ones in this. I'm just going to warn people already. So yeah, catcher, obviously, plenty to choose from when there's tons of players. But who did we decide to go with, Matt?
I'm going with Todd Hundley for the catcher on the All-Virginia team. He's from Martinsville, played from 1990 to 2003. He was a two-time All-Star, career .234 batting average, and 202 home runs. So Todd Hundley is my catcher on the All-Virginia team.
That's a good choice. It's mine too. I think I don't think there's plenty of catchers to choose from off the top of my head from memory looking at the list. So I also have Todd Hundley as my catcher. Our lists are very, very, very similar. They're actually the exact same. So when we talked before this, so it's going to be pretty interesting to break it down. So now we're moving on to, I believe, first base.
Yeah. First I want to add to Todd Hundley. It's interesting. His brother Randy actually also played in Major League Baseball, was also a catcher, but out of the two of them, Todd had the better stats, so I had to go with Todd. Now moving on to first base, a player that I actually overlooked the first time because my list of players was players by birthplace in Virginia. This player wasn't actually born in Virginia, but he grew up in Virginia Beach, and that'd be Ryan Zimmerman, the first baseman for the Washington Nationals. Played since 2005 with the Nationals. He's a two-time All-Star, a World Series champion, a Gold Glove winner, and a two-time Silver Slugger. So I put Ryan Zimmerman as my first baseman.
And I think I also went with Ryan Zimmerman. I know there was a debate between Ryan Zimmerman and what's his name? George McQuinn, who's a seven-time All-Star, played and won World Series championship, but I think just Zimmerman, and you think about Zimmerman's impact, especially being part of that Washington Nationals franchise, which has a lot of influence in the state of Virginia, and you think about Zimmerman's impact on, and I hate to say it, Virginia baseball. He's part of the first class of UVA's Hall of Fame. Like, Zimmerman's footprints in the state of Virginia and in baseball in Virginia is very deep, where you can't ignore the fact that he has to bank the All-Virginia team for all time.
For second base, we're going way back to the 1910s. Charlie Pick from Brookneal, Virginia, a .261 career batting average, 3 home runs, because, you know, he played back before home runs were a real big thing, and 86 RBIs. Not a lot of great second basemen from Virginia, but Charlie Pick is who I'm going with.
You could go with someone who played baseball before baseball was Major League Baseball in Paul Hines, who played second base. I actually had a lot of good statistics. If you look at wins above replacement, he was up there in all-time Virginia players. So I'm going to go with an odd one here. I'm going to go with the 1800s, and I'm going to go Paul Hines, who in his career had a 44.9 wins above replacement, 57 home runs, which at a time where home runs wasn't a thing, especially in the late 1800s, and a .302 batting average. How about that for pulling out a historic one?
There you go. Our first disagreement. Paul Hines for Trey's second baseman, Charlie Pick on mine. Third base should be a very obvious one to anyone that follows baseball. David Wright is our third baseman from Norfolk, played in 2004 to 2018 with the New York Mets. Career .296 average, 242 home runs, a seven-time All-Star, two-time Gold Glove winner, and a two-time Silver Slugger. I'd be really surprised if you pick anyone except for David Wright.
Yeah, absolutely. I think David Wright, I kind of forgot David Wright was from Virginia when we were doing this list, and I remember just saying, oh, yeah, he is. He's from Norfolk. And so David Wright, the obvious choice. Like I said, there's a couple of obvious ones to pick from.
Shortstop was another one where it didn't seem like there were too many great shortstops from Virginia, but Gene Alley is my pick. He's from Richmond. He played from 1963 to 1973, had a career .254 batting average, was a two-time All-Star, a two-time Gold Glove winner, and a World Series champion with the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, that's mine too. There was not a lot to choose from. It's similar to catcher. You had the brothers to pick from catcher, and then shortstop, it kind of, you just look at all the statistics, there's kind of one that separated themselves from the pack.
Outfield, I don't know, did you do left field, center field, right field? I just did three outfielders.
I have a left fielder down as well as a center, yes, but I mean, I can do three outfielders too. I think I'd keep it the same.
You know, we might have the same three people, we'll see. My first outfielder, I've got Justin Upton.
Yep.
From Norfolk, been playing since 2007. a career 266 hitter with 298 home runs, a four-time All-Star, and a three-time Silver Slugger. I don't think you can argue with that. He definitely earns a spot in the outfield on the All-Virginia team.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a pretty good choice to choose Justin Upton. Obviously, his brother has good consideration. I didn't have his brother on the list, but there's been a lot of good outfielders from Virginia. It's definitely the hardest to choose from, which it kind of typically is when you think about, because an outfielder can be so versatile and play in so many positions. And so you think about choosing outfielders, that's probably the hardest to choose from because there was a lot of good ones to choose from.
My next outfielder that I have is Michael Kadire, also from Norfolk. He played from 2001 to 2015, a career 277 hitter with 197 home runs, two-time All-Star, a Silver Slugger winner, and he won a batting title with the Colorado Rockies.
So I can't believe I'm saying this. And I also think it's because he's still kind of young that he's going to be a lot better. My second one is a Red Sox. It is Jackie Bradley Jr. from Richmond, Virginia. He same high school area as me. JBJ is an already an All-Star, Gold Glove. He was the ALCS MVP in 2018. I mean, he went on a great run. Obviously, it's gone down a little bit, but I mean, he's one of the best center fielders in the game right now defensively, and I think he's still relatively young in his career. I mean, he's a 15.9 career WAR, 236 batting average, 354 RBIs. He's been so consistent, and he's only played for 7 years, and so I think his future projection is going to be so good. I mean, you add another 7 years of what he's done, that's incredible. So I'm going to pick JBJ because I know 10 years from now he'll be a lock to make this list.
I actually have Jackie Bradley Jr. as my third outfielder, and I agree with everything you said. So who is your third outfielder on your list?
So my third outfielder is Willie Horton, who is a left fielder and was a DH for the Tigers. He's a four-time All-Star and won the 1968 World Series. He played for the Tigers, as well as the Rangers, Indians, A's, Blue Jays, and the Mariners. He's a 26.4 WAR. He's the all-time home runs leader among Virginia players with 325, 273 batting average, and then slugging at 457. So I went with Willie Horton of Arno, Virginia, which I actually had no idea where that is. So.
All right, well, you know, can't argue with that. Sounds like a pretty good candidate for an outfield position, so there you go. Starting pitcher is one that I think there's absolutely no debate on. I think we both have the same guy.
Yes, but also you could argue the second best player from the state of Virginia was also a starting pitcher in the Hall of Famer in Epa Rixley. I think we have to give him a shout-out in here. I mean, he is the second best WAR among players from Virginia at 55.83, which is just astounding. A great pitcher in his time. He was 266 and 251 with a 315 ERA, 500, and he started a majority of his games, 1,300 strikeouts, a whip of 1.272, Hall of Famer for the Cincinnati Reds. He played for the Phillies and the Reds. He played for the Phillies and the Reds. So you have to give him a shout-out as well, just because you could argue he's the second-best player from the state of Virginia in the history of Virginia baseball players.
If we were doing a whole rotation, he'd definitely be in there. But yeah, we just chose one starting pitcher, and it's Justin Verlander from Goochland. He's played since 2005. He's played since 2005 in Major League Baseball with the Detroit Tigers and the Houston Astros, a career 333 ERA, 3,006 strikeouts, and you look at his accolades. He won an MVP, two Cy Young Awards, Rookie of the Year, a Triple Crown, eight-time All-Star, and a World Series champion. Future Hall of Famer Justin Verlander is our starting pitcher on the All-Virginia team.
You can argue Justin Verlander is a top 10, top 20 pitcher of all time. So it was really easy. I mean, I know his impact on the state of Virginia growing up. 30 minutes from where he played high school baseball, going to summer camp in Goochland, Virginia, and being able to see the high school he played at. Obviously going to ODU and then going into Major League Baseball, playing for the Tigers for so many years, and then obviously going to Houston and winning that World Series. So hats off to Joe. I mean, it was too easy not to pick him. Like, I think if you asked anyone who relatively knew baseball and said, who's the best player to come out of the state of Virginia, the 99.9% of people are going to say Justin Verlander.
And our relief pitcher on the All-Virginia team, another pretty easy selection, Billy Wagner, born in Marion, grew up in Tazewell, went to Tazewell High School, played from 1995 to 2010, finished his career with a 2.31 ERA, 422 saves, and 1,196 strikeouts.
Shout out to Brady Hess in Tazewell County. So have to obligated to do that here, even though he went to the rival high school in Richlands. And I bet you Brady could probably give us a lot more info on the player's impact in that area. But yeah, it was really easy to pick a relief pitcher. A lot of great pitching has come out of the state of Virginia as well as outfielders. So yeah, you broke it down pretty eloquently. There's not much I can add about Billy Wagner and his great play.
Fun fact about Billy Wagner, he's now the head baseball coach at the Miller School in Albemarle, and his sons actually play in the Rockingham County Baseball League with the Montezuma Braves this summer. So I'm hoping I'll see him at a game this summer, because that'd be pretty cool.
All right, you should tell him, hey, Billy, you made the foul ball area all-time Virginia team. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'll tell him
that. Is that the best baseball accomplishment you've ever had?
I mean, he's a 7-time All-Star and one Reliever of the Year, but I think this might be his top.
I think this takes the cake. I think, you know what? We should tell Justin Verlander. He's the starting pitcher of the All-Virginia team from foul ball area. I think it might take the cake.
We should just send them all little plaques with the
foul ball area. You can pay for those, and I will gladly support it.
All right, maybe just like a paper certificate.
There we go.
Yeah.
Just we'll tweet at them and put them all on Twitter in their own little tweet.
Yeah, there you go. That is our foul ball area MLB All-Virginia team. We will have a blog post out about this later today if you want to read about them and read their individual stats and accolades, in case you kind of lost what we were saying there, because we're not always speaking coherently.
And we also had to put these together being away from home this past weekend, like I was during July 4th festivities. Had to put these together relatively quickly when the guy who controls the content dumps it on you at the last moment. Thanks, man.
That's how it goes. That is how it goes. So,
welcome to the inside scoop of the foul ball area.
That's the All-Virginia team. That's about all we've got for this week's episode of the podcast. We broke down our best season's bracket winner, the 1975 Cincinnati Reds. Trey doesn't agree. You know, you could really, I mean, I really think you can make an argument for the Yankees or the Reds either way, but our voters picked the Reds, so that's what we've got to go with. We broke down some of the latest news around Major League Baseball, including the schedule release and the COVID testing delays. You can read about both of those on our blog at foulballarea.com. And we did our MLB All-Virginia team. We will have a blog post about that out later today. Coming up on the next 2 weeks of the podcast, we will do our MLB season preview. Next week, we'll do the American League teams. And the following week, we will do the National League. So you make sure you will want to tune in to both of those episodes. They will be fun, they will be exciting, and they will be correct.
Finally. Let's pump the brakes on the correct part. But finally, Matt, we finally get to talk about actual games. Like, we haven't been able to do that in a long time. Like, we talk about the hypothetical scenarios of the 2020 season, but we can talk about actual games of baseball now, and that feels really good.
It does. Usually we would be doing our season preview in late March or early April, but it's going to be...
We'd be doing an All-Star break thing right now, because relatively, yeah, the All-Star break is right around this time.
Yeah.
A little before.
So the schedule's a little messed up this year, but we will have baseball, a 60-game season, starting July 23rd. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I hope that they get all the testing and everything under control, and I hope that we are able to have a safe and fun baseball season this year.
I completely agree. I hope they will, and we'll just see. For everyone out there, recommend wearing a mask if you want to see baseball happen more and more. It helps, so wear a mask. Please wear a mask.
All right, Trey, any final thoughts before we sign off on this week's episode?
None. Just thank you so much for everyone listening and we're trying to understand that we try to be act relatively smart, that we know baseball where some of us might not. That's me. And so we'll do our best each week to give our opinions. So we're appreciative for everyone. And thanks so much for everyone tuning in this week.
All right. For Trey Lau, I'm Matthew Atkins. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.